This is the Jabberjaw Podcast Network.
Happy holidays, and welcome to another episode of Lead Singer Syndrome, a podcast where I, your host, Shane Told, sit down with other lead singers to talk about what it's like to be a lead singer in the studio and, of course, on the road. Today we have a great show. I sit down with Jake Lures of August Burns Red, and we actually conducted this discussion back on the Warped Tour originally. And since then, they have had kind of a crazy huge year. I mean, the biggest news, of course, is they were nominated for a Grammy. And to be nominated for a Grammy in, you know, this scene, you know, I consider the scene that Silverstein is in and August Burns, you know, we're all kind of in the same scene, the kind of bands that we'd tour together, we'd play Warped Tour. So for their band to be nominated for a Grammy is just massive, massive news. So since the original interview was conducted back on Warped Tour, I gave Jake a call over the phone to have him discuss what it's like to be nominated for a Grammy. Before we get into that, though, I want to thank everybody who last week was using the Amazon referral link that I provided to buy some last-minute Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever you might celebrate gifts. And if you are still, I mean, it'll be very, very last-minute right now. But, I mean, if you're going to buy anything on Amazon ever, if you don't mind just putting this link in, it'll take you right to Amazon. And the show actually will get 4% of whatever you buy. So, you know, so it's not, it's really is an easy way and it doesn't cost you anything at all. So all you got to do is go to leadsingersyndrome.com/Amazon. It'll take you right to the page. You log in and you just go from there. I even did it for my own, I even did it for some of my own last minute shopping. So, whatever helps, you know, the show keep its wheels turning here is awesome. So thank you for that last week. And if you can do it this week again, that would also be amazing. And another way you can really help the show out is to go on iTunes and write a review for the show. And it doesn't have to be anything crazy, but preferably 5 stars. That would be great. And what that actually does is it actually helps us go up the charts to, you know, better chart position. And from there, more and more people will find out about the show. More people will listen. We'll be able to get better and better guests. So really, it's just a win-win. I looked on there today. We only have 7 reviews. They're all 5 stars, which is great. But if we could get that number up tremendously, it would really, really help out. So just go over to iTunes, write a review. It'll take you like a couple minutes and it would really, really help us out. So thank you very much. And the last thing, of course, get on Twitter, get on Instagram, get on Facebook. We are on all of those things. They're very easy to find if you search for Lead Singer Syndrome. I won't go through the painful process of naming all the URLs, so just find us on there, please, and hit me up. Let me know what you want to see from the show. I love getting your feedback, and I try to respond to everybody, so please hit me up. All right, so here's the conversation I had with Jake over the phone last week about their Grammy nomination and about their Grammy-nominated song, Identity. I'm sorry about the audio, especially at the beginning. It was a little fucked up. It's totally my fault. And afterwards, we'll get to the very in-depth discussion Jake and I had on the Warped Tour. So that's coming up. Thank you again, and I'll check in with you after. Enjoy. How you doing, Jake?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing fantastic.
We did the first podcast interview quite a while ago now, and I wanted to catch up with you, and I really wanted to just say congratulations on the big Grammy nomination.
Thanks, man. Yeah, things are going really well. We're on tour, finishing up our headliner, and we end it on the 20th of of this month in Lancaster. So we have our annual Christmas show, which I believe is already sold out. And yeah, the Grammy nomination is definitely not something that we ever thought would come our way, to be honest. I mean, you know, our music and our genre isn't necessarily the Grammy type of music. So we were very astonished and really pretty surprised when we woke up to the group text message saying, "Good morning, everybody. You've all been nominated for a Grammy."
Yeah. So how did that get put together? Was that like your label just really going to bat for you guys? Because I know I don't know any bands close friends like you are of mine that have been nominated for a Grammy before. So it must have been, was it just a total shock?
Yeah, I know that labels have the opportunity of submitting their bands to be voted in for a Grammy. So I think that the label submitted Ghost and Identity from our new record Found in Faraway Places. But there's actually a group of what do you call them? The people who nominate, a board?
Yeah, board members or whatever. Yeah, committee, yeah.
Right, so there's a committee and there's, I guess, thousands of them that are that have the opportunity to vote for the bands that they think should be in that place. So we, I guess, that happened. I guess they voted for Identity, and I mean, I don't really know how it all works, but
we're just lead singers, dude. Yeah, we just get up there.
Do I ever know how anything works? I mean, I don't know.
Well, you're up against Slipknot, Seven Dust, Lamb of God, and Ghost. How do you like your chances?
Not very good. I think that, obviously going up against, heavy hitters like Slipknot and, I feel like Seven Dust is pretty big. Lamb of God. I don't really know much about Ghost, but I've heard that they're pretty popular. So I don't know I would say our chances are pretty slim, but just being nominated is a pretty pretty big deal for us.
Of course it is.
I just feel like that's enough for us, just to even be recognized. And so we're gonna go out there to the Grammys.
That was my next question. Yeah. So February 15th at the Staples Center, Los Angeles, California. You're gonna go. Yeah. I mean, it's gonna be a trip, man. I am jealous. That is gonna be a lot of fun. One thing that's kind of awesome about you guys is, I would say, when I compare to you to the bands I just mentioned. you guys like appearance wise are definitely the least metal, and you kind of if I saw you walking down the street, I'd be like, yeah, he could be a metal singer, but if I saw Brent and JB, they're not exactly the metal looking people. So have you talked about what you're gonna wear?
No. I honestly I don't think it's really set in, for me personally. I don't think I've really completely absorbed the fact that we've been nominated for a Grammy. Maybe if I say it 500 more times, it'll catch. But
we got time, man. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, it's an honor, and I'm definitely, excited about it. But to be honest, I'm really trying to just stay focused on finishing up this tour and these shows and, things like that. So I think when I get home after this tour, I'll be able to really, go shopping for like a nice tux and, kind of plan out the flights and everything else. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, man. So I want to talk a little bit about the song, Identity. Obviously, this is now, when all is said and done, this is going to be probably one of your most, if not your very most memorable songs of your career, which is kind of a crazy thing to think about. Just based on this one thing alone. But when you guys were coming up with the song, coming up with the riff and then eventually putting the vocals and lyrics over it, did you know it was something special?
It's definitely one of my favorite songs on the record. I think the lyrics have a lot of power in them. And I think that, I feel like I would have to say that all of our songs are, I would say, are structured well, and we put all of the effort that we could into them. But this one specifically definitely has a lot of catch to it, and it's very diverse in the instrumentation. You know what I mean? Like, we've got like that cool, like kind of surfy board, surfy type of section in it. And then, you know, I feel like the off-time signature breakdowns are really catchy. And then, you know, this record's like kind of the first where I actually kind of do pitched, you know, screams and yells and things. So
yeah, we talked a little bit about that in the podcast, I remember. Yeah.
So I feel like it definitely has its place, and will have its place after the Grammys, but definitely has its place on the record. You know, it's one that I know that a lot of kids really, you know, connect with and enjoy. So, yeah.
And lyrically, you mentioned the lyrics being powerful. I know that, you know, you are one of the main lyricists. I know Brent and Matt write some lyrics too. But this was kind of Brent's baby, right?
Yeah. Brent wrote the lyrics to this, and you know, the process for that is very much like everyone writes lyrics, and then we all kind of come together and read over them and kind of you know, think to ourselves, okay, what are some of the strongest lyrics here that really kind of connect with all the bandmates and we feel are really you know, subject matters that we want to discuss or that we want to, you know, that we think our listeners would really appreciate and connect with. So yeah, Brent wrote the lyrics to this one, and you know, he really did a great job.
Well, it's I was reading another interview, and I guess it's about a gay person coming out to his family, and
right.
Historically, you know, the metal community has not been, you know, super vocal about gay rights, I would say, and you know, as you know, the Christian community is very divided. So now,
yes.
I mean, as you guys, as a metal band and a Christian person yourself,
yeah.
Do you feel like this Grammy nomination is almost historic in that way, that it's bringing these things together on kind of a more bigger level?
Yeah, I mean, I would say if we win this Grammy nomination, I think that's definitely something that I would like for society to take from it. You know, it's not just necessarily, you know, because this Grammy nomination isn't, to me anyways, it's not really about August Burns Red. It's about like what the movement, you know what I mean, about the art of August Burns Red, but with the community of our music genre, you know. And so like it's really about society. It's about where we come from, who we live life with, you know, and it's these kids that listen to our music. I mean, you know, it's these other musicians that are speaking loudly about their, you know, beliefs and or you know, things that they're going through. And it's really just an underground movement, I feel. And so for us to be a Christian band, to you know, and then to write material about, you know, a man who's homosexual that comes out and his family, you know, kind of you know, puts him down for it, shames him. I mean, that can connect with so many people on so many different levels. And really, the song is about compassion.
Of course, yes.
And love and grace. And so whether you want to, you know, nitpick the details or not, I would hope that people could come away with the bigger picture. And as for Christians, you know, that's what we're called to have. You know, we're called to have grace and compassion and love. For people where they are, you know. And so, and then with the metal industry, yeah, I mean, you know, no one's screaming on the top of a mountain for certain rights, but I think that it could be a little bit of a game changer for the recognition of what metal music is really producing now, you know. I think that, you know, as music grows, we should start to recognize that things are evolving. And so August Burns Red is a metal band that you know, stands for this present day, you know? And so the voice for metal, I think, is changing. And I think people need to recognize that, especially people outside of the metal scene.
Absolutely. I think it's a beautiful thing you guys have done. And I really do believe that, you know, you used the word game changer. And I think, you know, if you guys won, it would be such a great story. But, you know, even just being nominated alone is already a great story. So thank you so much for taking the time, you know, and jumping on the phone with me real quick so we could talk about that. Because it seems like, you know, doing this podcast that we did a few months ago and not bringing this up would be, you know, it just wouldn't be right because this is such big news and everything.
Yeah.
The song's not about Buddy from Senses Fail, is it?
No, I don't know him.
Well, I just wondered because the way Brent described it, and last week was I had Buddy on the podcast, you know, and he came out after a long time, you know, and it was involved in the scene and stuff. So I just think all this stuff is really, really cool, and I love that you guys are not scared, because I think a lot of Christian artists and metal artists would be scared to go down that road, and even if they did write this song, admit what it's about. So
right.
I really, really I'm proud of you guys, and I'm just proud of you guys as my friends and also as a part of this community. So it really is an awesome thing.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate that. I really do. And you know, I'm glad that I could do this interview with you, you know. I'm really stoked on the Singer Syndrome, and I think it's a really cool, unique thing that you've got going. So
thank you, man. Well, I hope this recorded. If it sounds like total crap, then whatever. I've failed. We could do it again. Or this is good. No, I but anyone listening, when it sounds like total garbage, it's my fault, not Jake's. All right, man. Hey, thank you very much. Kill it tonight in Atlanta. And I'm sure I'll see you around, and have a great holiday, and tell your bandmates I said hello.
All right, will do, brother. Take care.
All right, Jake. Bye now.
Bye.
Growing up doesn't mean you need to outgrow heavy metal. And now for discerning metalheads everywhere, there's a podcast just for you. Metal Brainiac is the smartest half hour in heavy metal. There's no beer or bro talk, and we leave Satan at the door as we dive into serious conversations with top metal artists. We dig into the creative process and explore the challenges of expression when people can't make out the lyrics. I'm Matt Pykin, the host of Metal Brainiac, and you can find us every week on iTunes and wherever you find your favorite podcast, and also at metalbrainiac.com.
Hello, welcome to Lead Singer Syndrome. I'm here with my very good friend, Jake Lures.
Hi.
Of August Burns Red. How is the Warped Tour treating you as of so far?
It's going pretty good. The dates have been a lot of fun. Obviously, like, the crowds have been really good. And then I've really made a lot of new friends on this tour, which is cool.
Yeah.
I've been hanging out with the band Citizen a lot.
Yeah, great band.
Yeah, great musicians and really, really just down-to-earth dudes, and they just love to work out, so we work out like every day together.
Yeah, I see you're getting pretty jacked, dude.
Yeah, I'm working, man. It's fun. It's a good time, and it keeps me, you know, feeling positive throughout the day, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. You know, I've known you a long time. It's our second Warped Tour together. And I feel like this tour, I'm seeing you around a lot more. Mm-hmm. You're kind of always walking around. You're always like mingling a little more, kind of like you got like a smile on your face all the time. Whereas maybe 2 years ago and maybe previously, like, it wasn't so much the case. I don't know what it is. Do you feel better this go around for some reason?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I've really just kind of taken life in a different direction. Just like the way that I perceive it and the way that I want to live my life, you know? I think in the past there was times where I was very like performance based type of person. For me, it was very like my faith, like kind of like if I didn't do this or if I didn't do this for this person, then they wouldn't love me or God wouldn't love me or I wouldn't be worth like enough. You know what I mean? So I was constantly trying to battle I'm a people pleaser. So it's like I would always like try to do whatever I could for everybody else. But then it kind of got to the point where I was just dragging myself through the mud to try to, you know, do everything that everybody wanted me to do. And so some things happened and I just kind of came to this understanding of like, hey, you know, like this is my life as well. And I don't have to try to do all these things for people. And I should learn to say no and have boundaries for, you know, what I'm willing to accept in my life, what I'm not willing to accept in my life. And then I just got on another level with God, where I wasn't so religious and performance based, but just understanding, you know, grace and His love and things like that. And so it really just, you know, because for me it's like when I couldn't fix something or something was troubling me and I couldn't control it, I'd get really upset about it. You know what I mean? And it would kind of consume me. So now I don't let that happen anymore. I kind of give it to God, and then I kind of go, hey, you know what? Yeah, it's an issue, but we'll get there when we get there. Or, you know, I'm going to take my time with this, and I'm not going to let that be the thing that I focus on in my day, you know?
Right.
So, you know, giving a lot of those things to God, and then for me, just seeing that I am a good person, and you know, if you don't like me, you know, tough shit, you know what I mean? Like, go on with your day, but I'm going to continue to be me, the best me that I can be. And having that mentality, waking up every day going, you know, this is the day that I have. I don't have yesterday. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. So like,
absolutely.
I want to make today the best day of my life.
Right.
And literally that's been my slogan. Like,
that's funny because that is actually my slogan, and it's a thing.
It is a thing.
When I'm in signing lines and stuff, people are like, how are you doing? And sometimes I'll just say, you know what? Best day of my life.
Yeah.
And they're like, why? And I go, why not?
Right.
Yeah. And it's like, to me, that's a very positive way to live. And that's interesting that we've somehow come to the same conclusion with that.
Yeah. That's
but I mean,
great.
Right away, I mean, it's interesting because I know, you know, anyone that knows anything about you knows that religion, Christianity, God is a big part of your life.
Yeah.
A huge part of your life.
Yeah.
But what I always think is interesting is when I read things you write and we talk and stuff, it's like you don't come off as this stereotypical like Christian guy.
Uh-huh.
Like you're just like, if you don't like me, tough shit. That doesn't really sound like the kind of thing you'd say, you know, a churchgoer would say. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm interested in that a little bit because I know you're from the South.
Yeah.
Right. So mm-hmm. I know you must have grown up with Christianity and stuff being present around you.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I understand, you didn't actually grow up in a Christian family, or you didn't go to church, or tell me about that. That's interesting.
No. Yeah. I wasn't raised a Christian. Neither of my parents were Christian. My sister, you know, no one in my family was Christian. And I wasn't really fond of church either. I felt like a lot of times when I walked into a church, I'd feel judged. And that's not one specific church. That was like a multitude of churches that I had gone to throughout my life at that point.
Yeah.
But then I just got to a point where life wasn't making sense. I didn't understand my purpose. You know, I was struggling a lot with depression and all these things that were in my past, you know, that had happened to me. And so I just kind of, you know, I was like, well, you know, Jesus, if you're real, you know, let's cut the crap here, like show yourself to me, you know what I mean? And he did. So I was, you know,
he did.
Yeah.
How exactly did that happen?
Yeah. I mean, it's really hard to explain because, and trust me, I've tried to explain it multiple times. You know, it's not like the clouds opened and, you know, God, all of a sudden I saw God and he spoke to me. You know what I mean? Like it was this crazy, just like, I don't know, this crazy feeling that just hit me right then. And I started crying and smiling and like just, you know, it's like you don't know how, I didn't know how to react to it really. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't know how to respond, but I knew that, that things were going to be different. And you know, I didn't know how to pray. I'd never.
That's right. That's the interesting thing to me is like, cause I mean, I'm not a religious person at all.
Right.
And I try to be a good person and I have my own set of beliefs and stuff, but I don't have like, I've never been spoken to. There's never been a higher being
mm-hmm.
other than just what is, you know, in my own head, you know?
Right.
So that's the thing that's like crazy to me about it. It's like, mm-hmm. so you grew up, you weren't religious. Your parents weren't religious. You weren't part of a church, but then all of a sudden something hit you to where you decided I need to like read the Bible. Right. Like, had you read the Bible before? Do you know what I mean? Like, right. Isn't that, am I like,
I used to be agnostic, and I would try to get Christians in the corner, you know, because I would try to.
Oh, I'm not trying to do that to you.
No, no, no. I know you're not. I'm saying. Yeah. I'm saying I literally went from the complete opposite.
Yeah, but that's what's so interesting to me is how do you all of a sudden you.
Yeah.
Jesus, like, basically you're like, show me yourself, and he does.
Yeah.
And then you, like, how did you find out what to do? Did you,
well,
like, did you just Google it? Like,
Google.
What do
you,
I read?
When
what
you
do
meet
I look
Jesus,
up?
Google step one. Literally, it was like, because I wanted a relationship, you know? I didn't want to be a part of an organization or a religion. I didn't want to think that I had to go to church on Sundays just to be a Christian. I think that's a load of crap. I think if you're going to call yourself a Christian, and then you need to have a relationship there. You know what I mean? There should be a relationship there. If there's not, you're just believing in a religion. You're not believing in a God. You know what I mean? Like, and right. So I was praying, and that looks a lot like talking to him whenever it, you know, I don't have to sit and, you know, repeat any kind of, you know, personal prayer. It's like, hey, you know, you're my dad, you know what I mean? You're my father, you're my creator. So I'm going to talk to you and we're just going to start right here, because I don't know anything about Jesus. I don't know anything about, you know, I don't know anything, but what just happened is real. So I'm going to go off of that. The first Bible I ever got, which I got really poor education when I was a kid, in elementary school, I had some real rough schooling. And, you know, so then, and I was just bad at school, to be honest with you. I hated it, but on top of that. But so the first Bible I got was a King James Version Bible. I don't know if you've ever read King James, like the version, the translation.
It's a very young child, yeah.
Yeah, right. It's all like thighs. Yeah. And you're just, you know, you can't understand a thing. I couldn't understand it at all, you know? So I'm like, all right, you know, like, God, I'm just gonna, you know, have this relationship with you and hope that you steer me in the right direction, you know? And then several months down the road, I ended up hooking up with August Burns Red, you know?
Right.
And I told them, I said, I was doing tryouts for them. And I said, look, I would love to be in this band. I'd love to tour with you guys. The one thing is that I don't know who Jesus is. You know, I don't really know anything about Jesus. So I really would love for you guys, you know, to teach me more about Jesus, you know? And Matt, my drummer, stepped in that role. And so we would talk a lot about, you know, about the Christian faith and who Jesus really was. And as I'm, you know, living and walking with God and then learning more about Jesus, it really kind of catapulted me to even want to know more, you know, for who, like, because, you know, I'm sitting here being like, Jesus, I want you to be in my life. And now he's in my life, but it's like, okay, now I want to follow you. But how am I supposed to follow someone that I don't?
Of course. That is so interesting to me that like, I mean, how old were you? You were in your 20s at this point, right?
Yeah, I was 20 years old when I...
So you lived, I mean, you lived your pretty much your whole life up to that point without, you know, without that faith. What is fascinating to me is like, yeah, you say you found this and all of a sudden you found your band and here you are and you're successful and now you're spreading the word with your foundation, which we'll talk about later and everything. Mm-hmm. And it's all so good. But you know, obviously before you joined, August Burns Red and you were a musician, you were a singer in other bands and stuff, other projects. How did that come to you? How old were you when you decided, yeah, I want to be in a band or I want to be what's your musical background?
Yeah. Well, I used to gamble my CDs with my sister when we were younger.
Uh-huh.
And I remember the day she just never wanted to talk to me for the rest of her life was when I got her Offspring record, her Nirvana album, and a Beastie Boys record, and her Tupac album. And I literally just sat in my room and blared those records as loud as I possibly could next to her room, just to kind of shove it in her face. I mean, music has always been a pretty big part of my life. My mom, you know, she used to perform like off Broadway.
Oh yeah. So she's a singer.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then my dad, he's an actor, and also did a lot of like drama and theater. And then you know, my sister introduced me to, you know, a lot of that music. You know, the Offspring, Nirvana, and Tupac, and so then I kind of got inspired when I remember listening to Strike Anywhere.
Oh, one of my favorite bands.
Yeah, and they actually came through Columbia, South Carolina, and I think
Brooklyn?
I was... Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Were we there?
I don't know.
What year was this? We toured with Strike Anywhere, it would have been 2004.
That very well could have been...
That's crazy.
Yeah.
The tour, I think we went... Yeah, we did come through.
And I see this singer, and he's just going insane, absolutely out of his mind. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is the coolest thing I think I've ever seen in my life. There's so much energy. This dude's pouring out all of his emotions and feelings.
Yeah.
And then I meet him, you know, and I'm like, hey man, like, I'm like 16, I think, you know, 16 or 17. I'm just like, that was the coolest thing ever. I was like, you know, I don't have anything to sign, but, you know, will you sign my arm, you know? And he signs my arm, and then he hands me the Sharpie, and he pulls out his arm, and he goes, sign my arm now. And it just blew my mind. And
interesting.
I do that with my fans now because it was, like, how much it meant to me for, like, this dude to, like, you know what I mean? Kind of put himself on my level.
Yeah.
You know? And so when that happened, I was like, okay, this is what I want to do with my life. And I started, you know, pop punk bands, some cool. punk rock bands. And then, yeah, I think my last, I had about five bands that I had started.
Yep.
And
right away it was like you wanted to be the singer of the band.
Yes.
So you play guitar, any instruments at all?
I played bass for a little while. Yep. And then I like to play acoustic guitar. I'm not very good at it,
mm-hmm.
but I'd like to learn. And then I'd also like to sing a little more. Not for ABR, but just for my own.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
for me.
Yeah. That's interesting, you know, that you talk about how what drew you into being a lead singer was just the energy of it. And like Thomas from Strike Anywhere is he really does pour his heart out. Like I remember talking to the producer that did one of their records, or I get most of their records, mm-hmm. and he would say like, with Thomas, there's no punch-ins. We don't stop the tape.
Right.
We start the song, the like 2.5-3 minute whatever the song is.
Yeah.
He does it all.
Yeah.
And like by the end of it, he's in like tears. Like that's how much music means to him.
Yeah.
So that is what inspired you.
Yeah.
To be a singer, which is really really a cool start. So I guess like he's kind of a screamer, and I would say, you know, you're a screamer.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
Was that, you said you were in pop punk bands too. So
yeah,
your background was singing, and then you kind of found your voice with more being a screamer. Is that kind of your history?
The thing that got me, like turned me on to screaming necessarily, like was Hope's Fall, No Wings to Speak Of.
Yeah,
that record.
Great album.
And then,
well, great EP, but
yeah, right. I mean, everybody looks at it as a, you know, I mean, it was, to me, it was their,
mm-hmm.
their
breakthrough. For
yeah.
Sure.
Right. And then Norma Jean, Josh Scoggin from, with Bless the Martyr, Kiss yep. the Child. Like, that dude was a huge inspiration to me. And it's funny because he's on this tour and we hang out all the time. So it's really cool to just be like, I mean, when we laugh, dude, we don't stop laughing. Like, I don't know what it is, but like, you throw two of us in a room by ourselves, we're fine for like hours on end.
Yep.
But then, you know, you sit there and you go, man, like, this is crazy, but like, you're the reason, you're one of the big reasons why I started, you know, doing what I'm doing, you know? And at first, the screaming wasn't attractive to me. I wasn't attracted to it. I thought it was noise, and I thought it was just like, kind of like an elitist thing to do, like, oh, look at these guys like trying to be different and cool, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then it really sunk in that it was a way to really express even another deeper way of expressing emotion, you know what I mean. So then I just was like, okay, I gotta learn how to do this, and I just taught myself how to scream.
Cool.
Yeah.
When I talk to you about singing and stuff, right away you kind of are like, you know, singing, but not with ABR. Like yeah. Fans, don't worry.
Yeah, right.
Because it is a bit interesting too to me that like ABR doesn't have any singing really. I mean, you right. have that new song
right.
with Jeremy from Day to Remember, right?
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you're, I'd say one of the few real popular, you know, metal bands, whatever, that mm-hmm. that really don't have any clean singing at all.
Right.
Is that a choice you made early on? Is that a choice you've kind of made as you've gone, or as a band, or as a singer, or
yeah,
or is it just that you're not as confident, or what is it?
I'm
just
no. I know that I can sing. I mean, there's like pitch screams in mm-hmm. in the record, and so there actually is like, you know, singing in the back of that I've done, and it's kind of just tucked in the back just to kind of make that pitch scream a little fuller.
Yeah.
And I'm actually off only by like, if I'm off, I'm only off by a couple cents. Like I actually have a really good singing voice. That's what my producer told me. And I would love to do it, but I just think, you know, that's something that we've definitely discussed in the past of like, hey, look, that's not anything we're ever going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think when we discussed it was because everybody else was doing it.
Right.
You know, and we're not like our slogan, ABR slogan is, we're going to lead the genre, not follow it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the trends that come, well, we know that they'll come and then we know that they'll go.
Yep.
We don't want anything to do with that, you know?
I absolutely get it. I mean, I feel the same way with my band.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah. we both our bands, we've been around a long time now. We've seen multiple trends come and go and we're still here. So
right.
And it's a good approach.
Right. Yep.
It's a good approach. Okay, so how do you, I mean, how do you do it? Like screaming your head off day in, day out? I mean, you guys don't take a lot of breaks from the road. Do you have any, ever have issues with your voice, losing it?
You know, I do when I don't get enough sleep.
That's the thing for you, sleep?
Sleep is definitely what I need. And if I don't get enough sleep, man, yeah, I'm going to be struggling for sure a little bit here and there. I mean, it takes a lot of energy. And our band, you know, what we like to do is we like to just go in there and just, you know, just like explode. You know what I mean? Like there's no, our breaks aren't very long, you know, like, and we actually choose not to have breaks. And we'll pick a song that has like maybe, a 15, 20 second intro or that time. And that's considered my break.
Yeah.
So right. I can go get water. You know what I mean? Because they understand, like, hey, Jake, you know, Jake's screaming. You know what I mean? Like, our last headliner, the Frozen Flame Tour, we played 16 songs, and there wasn't a break until the seventh song. Yeah. I had no break between any of those songs. So, you know, we try to fit, you know, like Mariana's Trench that has a little intro, mm-hmm. like, as the third song for me to get water. Yep. But it's pretty much, you know, we're just going.
Go, go, go.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I wonder, have you ever had, you've never had any issues, though? You've never had to, like, you never went to the doctor or anything like that?
A few years back, I was spitting up blood a few times. Oof. Yeah. Like, in the shower.
Yeah.
I'd cough up blood, and I didn't go to the hospital for it. I just tried to take it easy, because it didn't seem like it was severe. You know, it wasn't like I was just coughing up blood. But there's a little pink in my mucus, you know what I mean? And so I'm just like, oh boy, like, you know, that's next level.
I do a lot of my fair share of screaming too.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I have breaks where we do, oh, it's an entire song of singing, which is a little less crazy. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of wonder, from a guy that's, you know, you guys are going up there, you're playing, you know, 75 to 90 minute sets regularly,
right?
6 days a week or more,
right?
There was a stretch of, what do we do, like 13 in a row on this tour or something like that?
Yeah
12 in a row, whatever it was. And you know, I just kind of wonder how that holds up. And are you ever scared, like, do you go to the doctor and the doctor's gonna be like,
no
singing, no screaming for you anymore, you're done?
No I mean, that again, like, that was a few years back, and I've really been able to, you know, find that really good spot for me as far as balance.
Yeah.
Not pushing my vocals too much, kind of knowing my capacity, you know, knowing my range and knowing what I can and can't do. And I've been doing it for, you know, a really long time. So it's, I'm good. I think if there were to be issues, there would have already been some issues. You know what I mean?
I totally know what you mean.
Yeah. I feel pretty comfortable.
This long and, right. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't see anything, you know, coming up.
Do you ever feel any disconnect from your other band members? Because you're kind of the guy just kind of screaming, jumping around, kind of acting like a bit of a maniac.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have somebody like JB who's doing like this, you know, he's got to stand there completely still. So he plays this very intricate part.
Right,
Matt, who is just like this, I mean, he is like a drum, you know, god.
Yeah.
You know?
yeah. He's...
You know what I mean? You have these guys in your band that are just, like, super proficient musicians.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever feel like they kind of look at what you do and go, oh, well, he's just running around screaming, whatever, we have a tough job?
No, I don't think so. Because, you know, I mean, my guys know how much effort and time I've put into the vocals, you know, and the patterns, and really being able to, you know, be a musician as well, you know, and not just some guy that's like, you know, running around screaming. And the other part about that is that I'm also an entertainer. You know, I'm the face of the band. I'm the front man of this band. So, I think they actually probably appreciate the fact that I can pull off, you know, screaming what I can scream while being as crazy as I am. You know, I try to pour out as much energy as I have that I have, and be as persistent and tight with them, you know what I mean? And then as long as far as like the vibes on stage, they're actually really, really good. I mean, you know, Matt and I like to, I call it flirting. We like to flirt. Like, sometimes I'll get on his kick, you know, and I'll look at him and I'll just like whisper I love you, or I'll grab his I grab his cymbals.
I've seen you do that.
And, or sometimes, you know, I'm so excited that I'll turn and I'll run to Matt and I'll just start screaming at him, and like come on, baby, let's go. You know what I mean? Like getting, like get him in there. You know what I mean? And I know that it pumps him up. It pumps me up.
Sure.
And then the rest of the guys are just like goofballs on stage. Like they're always like laughing at each other, winking. You know, so you know the chemistry on stage is really really good. And as a whole, we all feel very comfortable. Again, we've been doing it for so long, we kind of even know where we're gonna be. You know, going from side stage to, you know, what side and
You got your,
and I'm swinging my microphone everywhere. So I'm surprised that after 10 years, I've maybe hit somebody once. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I'm so thankful because that thing's going, dude. Like, you know what I mean? That microphone is just, you know, I don't know, maybe 20 miles per hour. I'm exaggerating.
I don't know the speed. Probably something like that.
But and just getting clocked in the head, I would feel awful.
And a lot of people, they see a band, they don't realize, like, microphone's got some weight to it, man.
Yeah,
it's
dude.
Not like a, it's not a, like a plastic Radio Shack mic, you know, you're using. So
right.
Yeah, I saw one time I was at a show where the singer for Taking Back Sunday, and you know, you do this swing, you know, usually like the how do I describe this? We're on audio.
Yeah.
You swing it like a you know, around like from your feet to above your head, feet to above your head. Well, he was swinging it like over his head, almost like a lasso.
Oh no!
And that's like swinging right at head level, and saw it clock the bass player right in the head.
Oh.
And he was out. He was out for the count.
Was he really?
But you know what's funny is that they didn't stop. They kept playing. But you know why they didn't stop? Because the day before, it was a festival, 2 day festival. And the day before, the drummer had broken his kick pedal in the middle of the show.
Yeah.
And they stopped.
Yeah.
And they had a big band blow up after.
Oh, no.
Saying, we never stop. No matter what, we never stop. So the next day, Mike, microphone in the face. And
didn't stop.
They couldn't stop.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. And they even made shirts, I think, after that with like, maybe you saw it's like a microphone, like cord tangled around. Like it looks like a... around someone's neck.
Yeah.
And then there's blood hanging off the microphone.
I've seen that. That was actually a really popular design.
Yeah.
That's cool.
What that's inspired from.
That's hilarious.
So yeah, be careful, dude. Don't do the lasso over the
head
trick. No,
I've wanted to. I never will. No,
yeah, not now. I've warned you. Cool, man. Well, hey, I want to talk about heart support, which seems like it is taking up a lot of your time now. It's really, really taken over a big part of your life.
Right.
And I'm sure a lot of people that are listening to this kind of have a general idea about what it is,
right?
So I don't want to get too into depth of what it is, but maybe, you know, for the people that don't know, maybe just the summary of what exactly you're doing with it.
Sure. So heartsupport.com is what it's called, and it's an online community for kids to talk openly or anonymously about their struggles of addictions, family issues, spiritual problems, you know, and it's so really to cover all grounds of things that, you know, are really hard for people to open up and talk about. And so they can come here to Heart Support, and everyone is encouraging. Doesn't matter what color your skin is, who you're in love with, what you believe in, what you've done or what's been done to you. You know, we just really want to encourage you for where you're at in life and try to help you move forward in a process of finding healing. That's what it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, it gives a place for kids to talk about these kinds of issues that they feel like maybe they would be judged for from their friends or their family members. And then we do interviews with bands, you know, a lot of bands in our genre.
Right.
Who talk openly about, you know, their struggles or what they've gone through and their message of hope. So
how has this has been obviously very rewarding for you, helping all these kids with different problems. Is that something that you... How do you feel about that? Is that something that drives you? You know, like, I remember at the beginning of our conversation, you kind of came right out with, like, you feel like a better person. You feel, like, confident. You feel like, you know, do you feel like heart support has helping other people, has helped you personally as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think it has in a certain way, you know. It's probably made me really thankful more than anything because a lot of these kids are dealing with a lot more than you would think. You know what I mean? It's not just like a, you know, hey, you know, I partied too hard last night and I made out with this girl and now I feel weird about it or whatever. It's like, you know, I was raped or, you know, my dad molested me or, you know, I'm cutting because, you know, this was true. This one girl was cutting because her dad had sex trafficked her, you know? And so like, we're getting like some really serious stuff, and we take it seriously, but we really want to help these kids because, you know, they need to know that they have worth, you know, and purpose. And I think what's funny is that, you know, when God saw me, you know what I mean? And I was like, Jesus, are you real? I want you to have my heart. Like, he accepted me for who I was. He, you know, didn't matter the color of my skin, what I believed in, what I had done or what had been done to me. So I'm really trying to convey that same love and grace and understanding, you know, in this community for these kids, because that's what they need. They need to know that it's okay, that they're loved and that they have purpose. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So it's given to me, but I just enjoy giving back to this scene and trying to create a movement of love and unity.
Absolutely.
Rather than,
I think the scene needs it. Yeah.
Rather than some other things that are being, you know, pushed out here.
Absolutely. I know when you were going through a very dark time before Oxburn's Red in your life,
mm-hmm.
and I'm curious about how that was. Like, how was living like that? Because I know you went through some dark times early in life.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, man, like, I kind of got dealt a pretty rough hand of cards. My parents got a divorce. It was really, really hard for my sister and I. And then,
how old are you when that happened?
Man, I'm trying to remember. It was, it kind of felt like it happened forever. Like, maybe around six, and then it kind of dragged out and dragged out. And, you know, I had step parents, which was really a challenge for me. Lived in really low, you know, poor housing and got some poor schooling. One of my close family members became a heroin addict and almost OD'd.
Wow.
You know, and I was molested multiple times when I was a kid. And so, like, you know, there's a lot of that type of stuff where it's like, you know, all at once kind of thing, or felt like it all happened at once. You know, you kind of just are like, well, what, you know, who's here to love me? Who's here to protect me? You know, I kind of just feel like I got thrown out on the streets in a sense,
right.
You know, very young, you know what I mean? Trying to have to figure out how to live life. And of course, you know, so my dad wasn't really there for much of my, you know, teenage years. So I would always try to find, you know, these guys around me and go, well, what's a man look like? You know what I mean? Like, show me what a man looks like. And
did you know you were doing that or at the time? Or was that kind of like now you look back and you were looking for some kind of a father figure or some kind of a male influence?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't know it when I was doing it, you know, but I see it now. And, you know, that led me in different paths. I mean, these guys were telling me different things, you know, different ways of living. And the funny thing is, well, it's not funny, but it's, you know, it drove me just in the ground of drinking a lot, sleeping around with a bunch of girls, and, you know, just really kind of falling into like a little bit of a depression, you know?
Yeah.
And that's when I met God. And then, you know, so then I'm like, well, I leave this entire world that I know, you know, South Carolina. I go on the road with guys I don't know at all. You know, I don't know Matt.
You're talking about
JB.
ABR. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I've got God. So literally for 5 to 6 to 7 years, I was building friendships with my band, but I was really relying on God to be my dad, you know, and show me what, you know, and I feel like that's what God did. He said, you know, I'm going to show you what a man looks like. You know what I mean? So just follow me and I'll show you how to love people.
So it was really like a switch got flicked.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, like, you went from, I don't know what's going on. I'm, you know, I'm doing drugs. I've got, like, obviously, if you were molested, it's a horrible thing to go through.
Right.
Like, obviously, that must still be in the back of your mind.
Not anymore.
But at that time,
it was, for
it
sure.
It probably was a big reason why you were, you know, doing
messing
the things you were doing.
Getting screwed up.
So all of a sudden, there's been this, like, flick of a switch. I mean, that must have been, was that overwhelming? I can't even imagine all of a sudden just feeling this.
Yeah.
You know, they say, like, the glory of God, or, you know, that's like a crazy thing. And I mean, I'm just so happy for you that happened.
Yeah, well,
and that was able to put you where you are.
Yeah, I try to explain it, and again, like I said, it's really hard. But I'm just crying, I'm smiling, I'm laughing, and I'm realizing that I'm not alone. You know, I'm realizing that, yeah, maybe I've had all these people abandon me in certain ways, or I've had, you know, all of these things happen in my life, things that I chose to do that might have hurt other people.
Yeah.
Which I went back and made amends with those people, funny enough. But, like, you know, now with God, I'm not alone. I'm never alone. You know, so I've really entrusted in Him to really lead me, and you know, I'm oftentimes reminded of that day that I was like, you know, I would rather kill myself than live like this and have to deal with all of these issues. So if you're not real God, like, that's cool, not a problem. Then I'm not gonna, then, you know, I'm just gonna go ahead and pull the plug on this one. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then He showed up. So had I done that, had I not felt this and gotten that experience, and I feel it was, you know, the Lord taking me and saying, okay, I'm gonna lead you now, I wouldn't be in this band. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have started Heart Support. I wouldn't have been able to touch the lives that I've touched. I wouldn't have been able to experience it, all the great things that I've experienced, and live the life that I'm living. You know what I mean?
I absolutely know what you mean.
So, you know, oftentimes I look back at that and I go, man, like, thank you. You know, thank you. Like, because this wouldn't have happened had I not had that interaction, had I not had that day where I was like, hey, let's cut the bullshit. Like, if you're real, come, you know, show me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's crazy. Wow. I mean, so I guess every day you live, obviously God is a big part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to get into some of like the lyrics you write.
Okay.
Because I love the lyrics you write.
Yeah.
And I always find it interesting because as a non-Christian, I guess you could say, I can find a lot of inspiration and stuff in your lyrics. And I'm always curious, are your lyrics about God? Or are they sometimes about God? Or are they just sort of about your own personal experiences? Because, you know, some of the lyrics, especially from the new record,
mm-hmm.
they almost seem more like, they almost don't seem like they're about God as much.
Right.
You know, like I almost, I'm trying to, like, I know Jake, he's a religious guy. He's posting about this and he's got his foundation.
Right.
But I read the lyrics and I don't get that. So I'm kind of curious what, on the latest record at least, kind of what your inspiration was.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's funny because there are multitude of lyricists for the band. Like Brent will write some lyrics.
Oh, really? I thought it was all you.
And Matt, yeah. But all the lyrics have to go by me if we're going to, you know, put them on the record.
Well, yeah.
I won't scream something I don't believe.
Of course,
you know?
Sure.
But I'm more than happy and willing to explain any of the lyrics to you.
Yeah.
And how my take is on them. But on this record, I think really a lot of the material is based on experiences or just views of the world where things are just not okay. You know what I mean? Where it's like, hey, that's just not okay. And I don't care if you're not happy that we're saying this, but like, that's how we feel and that's who we are. And, you know, and we see this as a problem. You know, I mean, even like the wake is like about, you know, being eco-friendly, you know?
Oh, okay.
And how it's, you know, Brent wrote that and he's like, hey, look, I don't think it's cool that, you know, everybody's just chucking trash everywhere and not really caring about the earth. And because we have, you know, and obviously this makes very good sense to him because he's got a little baby boy, you know?
Right.
So he's thinking about his son's future.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, you know, we really need to make sure that we're taking care of this place that we have, you know what I mean? And not ruining it for the future generations. So, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, again, like I may not have written, but I can relate or understand.
Right. I can't think of all the song titles. I should have made notes about them all.
Fine.
But no, I just overall, I was wondering, I mean, the one song, Separating the Seas, I thought was interesting because that seems like almost like you're talking about, I mean, almost like it sounds like you're talking about other bands or something. I almost got like your, it's kind of like this, I don't know. Do you care to explain that song? Because that was a very interesting one to me.
Yeah, we are talking about other bands, actually. You know, it's just, I think let's get away from bands and let's just talk about ego, you know? Just having this prideful
people in bands.
Ego. Yeah. Like just thinking you're the, you know, the hottest thing and no offense, but like if you're in our genre of music, you're not famous. You're not a celebrity. You know what I mean? You're not Brad Pitt. You're not Angelina Jolie. You didn't create, you know, you didn't land on the moon. You didn't, you know, you're not creating something that's new. You know what I'm saying? Like, so like let's cut you down a little bit. You know, can we find some humility here?
Right.
And the fact that kids even look up to you, I think is something you should be thankful for. And then when you're standing beside other bands, you know, of your caliber, or maybe even a little bit above you, I don't think it's really your place to just talk trash on them, you know, or say that you're, or walk around like you're hot stuff. You know what I mean?
I do know. Yeah.
And I think that really bothers a lot of us, to be honest.
Yeah. So, okay, cool. That's, I like the explanation of that song. I don't know. I kind of wanted to play around with you.
Yes.
Yeah. I was, part of me was like hoping you'd throw someone under the bus.
Yeah, I know. I really want to, but I can't. I can't. And you know what? For me to throw someone under the bus, it would be me doing the exact same thing that I wrote the lyric about. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely,
for me to be like, hey, like, that dude's a piece of junk. It's,
that's
like,
right. Well, I mean,
I don't like to fight fire with fire, you know?
That's right. Well, there was a song I wrote that was very similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
We wrote back on our Rescue record just 4 years ago. We wrote it, and yeah, it's about a specific band, you know, doing things bands shouldn't do.
Right.
And yeah, and absolutely.
Yep.
You know, but I think at the same time, yeah, I never spoke out about anyone in an interview, and I think it is the way to approach it is to keep it to yourself.
Right.
And you know, I mean, I believe in karma.
Mm.
And I believe not in just karma based on a higher power.
Right.
I believe in karma as in, well, people talk.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And
yeah,
things get around. Yep. And
loose
that's
lips,
a big part
ships.
Of it. So there, <yeah.
laughs> there you go.
Yeah. All right, man. Cool. Well, hey, let's, what else is up? Oh, what's up? You guys have a new record.
Yes.
Yeah. Found in Faraway Places. Found in Faraway Places.
Yep.
The record is great. Your highest charting record ever.
Yes. Yes, it is.
You must be very proud of that.
I am. I really am. I'm proud. It blew me away, to be honest with you, that our fans would even go out and buy the record. I mean, no one buys records anymore. You know what I mean?
Well, no one buys records anymore. And also, you guys were the last, weren't you, the last Tuesday release? Like, we're talking music industry speak now, but like everything got messed up with the days of the week and what was happening, and then Apple Music was released like the same day or something.
Yeah,
so it was pretty
tough.
Crazy for you guys to be doing so well, and this is your sixth album, is that correct?
Yeah, this is number
so
six.
That's, it must feel really, really good to be making not only your most popular music at this point in your career, but also some of the best received by your fans and by critics. That's really, really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a game changer for us, man. Like you know, what's all happening right now. It's like, it's kind of hard to explain, and it's really even hard to all like take all of this in, but, there's a lot of people out there that are really supportive of us, and our music is really, you know, hitting a different demographic, and we're just building our fan base, and it's just it's the next level for ABR. And you know, we didn't think that was going to happen. You know, we were just like, hey, you know, this is what we do, this is what we love doing, we're going to continue to do this. And then Fearless was like, cool, we're going to take this and we're just going to, you know, throw you guys up in the air and really show people who ABR is, you know, because
absolutely.
And it's,
they're very capable of that. They're amazing, label, social media, and
absolutely,
all that stuff they do is crazy.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Next level.
So we're making new friends. We're, you know, we've got some really amazing tours coming up, and you know, we're making a lot of new fans. So
okay, cool, man. Anything else you want to add? I mean,
dude, I think this is awesome that you've got this podcast.
Yeah, thank you, man.
So cool.
It's cool. You know, I don't really know yet how everything's coming together, but this interview was cool.
Yeah, man.
So thanks a lot.
I'd love to do another one down the road.
I would love to do a part two.
Yeah.
Just to wrap up, I mean, I just want, you know, is there anything you want to say to the listeners of Lead Singer Syndrome, about Jake Lures? What's up? Tell them something nice.
I haven't picked up a piece of equipment in at least 7 to 8 years.
Ah, that's right. That's the real good stuff there. That's how you know you're a lead singer.
Yeah.
Lead singer, lead screamer.
Yeah,
no. Sorry, what? I don't, that's not my fucking amp. I'm not touching
that. You know what's funny? I literally tried not that long ago, And this is when I said, okay, you know what? No, I'm just, I need to get out of the way. I grab something. I put it in the trailer, right? I walk out and I turn and I grab something else. And as I turn to put the second item yes. in the trailer, the first item I had put in the trailer is being taken out by my guitar tech,
put
Kevin.
It, put it the wrong one. Right. Wrong one. We're not ready
not
for that
even
yet.
Where I should be putting things. And I go, you know what, guys? I'm sorry. I'm trying. But they're like, yeah, dude, you haven't done this forever. Like, just go grab some tea or something. Like
just
get
drink some
yeah,
tea.
Go drink some tea. Like, get out of the way, you know? And I felt so bad. But I love lead singer syndrome. I think it's hilarious. And, like, I love to make jokes about that as well. So I just love that you're doing this because I know you're going to find some really good stuff
That's
along
right.
the way.
Well, I love it. Well, Jake, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, no problem, man.
All the best.
Love you, bud.
Love you, too.
So there's my discussion with Jake from August Burns Red. It was just such a great talk with him. He's just such a great guy. And we're such great friends. And it's really interesting how our beliefs are so different, yet we can connect on so many of the same things in life. It really is truly an awesome thing. And I'm so excited for their Grammy nomination. And I think they got a chance at winning it. I really think they got a chance. So everybody, make sure you watch on February 15th. I don't really watch the Grammys, to be honest. I don't remember the last time I watched them. But this year, with my friends there, I will absolutely be watching it. Next week on Monday, we will be back. We are not taking any breaks over the holiday. I know a lot of you guys are going to be visiting family. Sometimes, you know, after the long meals, you might get a little bored. So put in the headphones, listen to some old episodes of Lead Singer Syndrome, whatever you got to do. It's all good. Please hit me up again, leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. And have a great holiday, for real. Have a great new year. I guess we'll talk before then, but hey, all the best. This is Shane. Thanks again. Peace and love. I'll leave you with a modern holiday classic. Here is August Burns Red performing their rendition of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.